All right, we're starting our Advent series this week. We're going to talk about joy today, but then we got peace and hope and love we're going to get to throughout the rest of the month. I love this time of year, taking a little extra intentionality of focusing on who Christ is, why he came to earth, what he came to do, and what that means for us as human beings, and especially believers in Christ Jesus. And hopefully all of us humans, because that was God's plan from the origin for all of humanity to inherit eternal life. But we still get to make that choice. Are we going to go to the post office and pick up our package? Are we going to go open that package, that free gift of salvation? So I've titled today's message, Expecting Joy. Do you expect joy on a daily occurrence in your life? Or do you get up on the wrong side of the bed sometimes? It's just going to be a bad day and off to sleep on it and wake up on the right side tomorrow. Some of us do that. Guilty. But we should go through life expecting joy. Because Christ's arrival came to bring us joy. So we're going to jump back into Matthew chapter 1. When Jesus is just about to arrive on scene. And of course, hundreds of years prior to this, there has been prophecies that said God's going to send the Messiah. And they're not quite sure what that looks like yet because it's never happened. And it was prophesied that the Messiah would come through a virgin birth, and they're not quite sure what that looks like because that's never happened either. But they're looking forward with excited and expectant joy. What's going to happen? When is it going to happen? For hundreds of years, they're looking for the fulfillment of these prophecies. In Matthew chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 18 through 25. The title of this passage heading is Joseph Accepts Jesus as His Son. Matthew 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The end of that passage is exciting. It brings expectant joy. She had the baby, and his name was Jesus. But if we backpedal a little bit, Joseph was expecting to have a wife. Joseph was expecting to get married. Joseph was expecting for his partner to be faithful. He was expecting to get a virgin bride. But it kind of took a turn of events. Joseph was not expecting for her to become pregnant before he had relations with her. Joseph was not expecting to divorce her. And divorce in this day because of what had happened with her being pregnant without being a wedlock, meant bring her before the leaders of the town and stone her to death. Divorce was a whole different thing in their day if there were sexual improprieties. But Joseph didn't want that to happen, so he was going to do it quietly to save her the stoning. Joseph did not appear or did not expect to have to make those decisions. Joseph did not expect an angel of the Lord to arrive on scene. Joseph did not expect to be the one raising the Son of God. Expecting joy. They believed in the promises of the scriptures. They were familiar with the promises of the prophets, the prophecies foretold. Sometimes when we're expecting something, we get a completely different outcome. What do we do in those moments? Does it bring us joy? Does it bring us sadness? Does it bring us fear? Does it bring us rejection? Does it bring us humility? Does it bring us pride? What happens when your expectations aren't met? What happens when you start out the day and have a plan and everything's going to be wonderful? I had this plan one day. I was going to work and we were cleaning out the corrals. I had this plan. I'm going to get it all done today, which was a big job for the day with a little skid steer bobcat. I had a plan. I was going to get it all done. It was going to be wonderful. Get it all stacked and ready to haul out with the dump truck. Next thing I know, I'm ramming the bobcat into my pickup truck, picking it up, slamming it against the tree. It had a broken joystick, so you couldn't let go and find neutral. You had to find neutral, and when you're bucking like this, it's really hard to do. And the kill switch was broken, so you had to reach behind you and find this wire hanging in the cage and pull it to shut the engine off. And I was really just going over to the shop to air up a low tire. But when I hit the 4-inch lip of concrete, it bucked back, and then we bucked forward, and then we spun sideways, and then we slammed into my truck. Then we picked up my truck and slammed it into a tree, and I think I held on for 8 seconds, although. But sometimes what we're expecting, I mean, everybody around watching was getting plenty of joy out of it. I was terrified. I didn't know when it was going to stop and if I was ever going to find that wire. And just when I thought the day couldn't get any worse, got everything back squared away, my truck wasn't too mangled, like it was still drivable. Got the tire pumped up, went to finish my job, and I'm literally on the last scoop of manure of like 35 dump truck loads of manure. I'm putting it on top of the pile, and I'm about to set it on, and I hit a rock, and the bucket's clear at full mast. And it starts the bucking show again. The next thing I know, like, through the cab, it wasn't an enclosed cab, it was an open cage cab. Yeah. I was expecting joy, and I got a load of... But what do you do in those moments? It's easy to laugh about today. The first instance, I was terrified because it was like, sky, truck, sky, truck, sky, truck. And the other one was like, I just giggled about it. It was like by the end of the day, I'm like, it's literally the end of the day and I am literally buried in the cab of this skid steer in horse manure. Like, from there, it's pretty easy to find joy in the small things of life. I had an expectation that made me joyful to go home and shower and have hot, running water with pressure behind it. When life's really bad, it's really easy to find a small thing and have some joy in it. But usually in the moment, it's really difficult to look beyond our circumstance or our situation and find the joy. We're going to look at some Bible verses today that tell us about joy and how we should obtain it, receive it, take care of it, use it. Of course, this is not an exhaustive list of all the Bible has to say about joy. But as you start looking at these verses of hope and love and joy and peace, like they all just intertwine, and it's, I finally had to just sit down with them and like pick some for hope and some for joy and some for love and some for peace, and like that's what we're using. Because they are so intertwined of what Jesus arrived on scene in the earth to do for us. And we should be experiencing it today, expecting joy. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. This is why Joseph could do what he did. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You've got to understand the time and era that Joseph and Mary lived in. Like, you didn't take a woman to be your wife who was pregnant with someone else's kid. It just wasn't a thing. You drugged them into the street, you stoned them to death. That was kind of the order of the law, what was supposed to happen. But because of this passage, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Joseph was called according to the purposes of God to raise Jesus Christ. So he looked beyond the law. He looked beyond his understanding as a human of what he knew and had been trained and taught in, and looked to the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord who arrived on scene to talk to him, said, okay, there must be something going on I don't know, something I don't understand. Sometimes we have to dig that deep to find our joy. I'm not in a good situation. This is a mess. Nothing's going right. Nothing looks like it'll ever go right. But I know my God is still good, and I know if I'm acting according to his purpose, he can work whatever situation, whatever circumstance I'm in for his good and his glory. So if we can just say, I don't understand and I don't know, Lord, but yes, use me, he can make something awesome out of our mess. I like to call it a message. He can make a message out of your mess, your testimony that goes forth. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy when you have troubles and trials and hardship. That doesn't sound like fun. No. You know why I'm really good at changing tires? Because I've got to experience the trials of flat tires. There has to be some hardship to grow and develop us, to mature us, to make us complete in the image and likeness of Christ. If we look at his life and what he endured, I'm sure he expected joy every day just because he got to be with his Father. He got to be with his friends. He got to be about the Father's business. But he had some hard days. Since he was a 2-year-old boy, he was pursued for his life. Time and time again, people tried to kill him. Anybody had it that rough? No, I've had some bad days, but To my knowledge, nobody's tried to intentionally kill me. I've had a lot of accidental close calls. Count it all joy. What are we supposed to do with our trials? Count it all joy. God, thank you for this opportunity to grow and develop and mature my character, my perseverance, my faith in who my God is. There was a time when our son was really little, an infant. I forget how old he was, months old anyway. He was very ill, very sick, had to be in one of those bubble tents. And like as a dad, a first-time new dad, it was terrifying. It was exhausting. It was anything but expecting joy. But you couldn't even pick up your own kid. You couldn't even hold them and take care of them. You had to just had these big rubber gloves that would go in the bubble that when you touched him, he would freak out and even more than he already was. And he would sit there like, da-da, da-da. Awful, horrible. I'm supposed to count that as joy? You have to dig deep to find joy in that one. One thing I could do in that moment was pray and grow my faith and trust in God that everything's going to be okay. Because I physically can do nothing for my child. But I can say, God, I trust you. And I'm putting my son in your hands. And it was still terrifying. And there were many joyless days. But it grew and developed character. Count it all joy, regardless of what you're facing. Psalms 30, verse 5. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing or joy comes in the morning. Aren't you glad that God's anger only lasts a moment? His favor lasts a lifetime. You want to find joy? Acquire the favor of the Lord. Know that you walk in his favor. Find joy in that. I'm glad that weeping only stays for a season or a time, and joy can return to us. Just because joy's gone right now doesn't mean it has to stay gone. But it says joy will return if we allow it. We have to choose joy. When I'm expecting something, I choose it. Do you choose joy in your life? Jesus came so we could have it. Joy. John 16, verse 24. John chapter 16, verse 24. This is Jesus is just talking to his disciples saying, hey, I'm getting ready to leave and you're going to be really sad. But don't be sad for long because I'm sending the Comforter and your joy is going to return. There will be a moment of sorrow and mourning, but don't mourn me for long. Your joy will return when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So John chapter 16, verse 24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. How do we get complete joy? Ask of the Lord according to his will. Do you ask God for things in your life? Man, God, I'm really depressed today. I need some joy. Man, God, I'm really scared today. I need some courage. Man, God, I'm at the end of my wits and wisdom. I need your understanding and knowledge. I need your wisdom. Man, God, I am like tapped out of being a father. God, give me resources to be an even better father. God, I'm tapped out being a husband. God, give me some resources to be a better husband. His word tells us to come to him and ask. You want your joy to be complete? Say, God, I'm really down. I'm really out. As a teenager, I was diagnosed with bipolar depression. I was on meds. I was suicidal. I was a mess. I had very little joy. Sometimes it was like looking at myself outside of myself, like, who is this guy? That's not me. If you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, hopefully you never do. But it's a really weird state of mind and place on earth. And they told me, well, you got it. You can never get rid of it, and you always have to be on medication. And I could have bought into that. Or I could read the Word of God and say, what does your Word say? Who do you say I am? What did you come for? And so I haven't taken meds for that for 25 years. And I have joy. I don't have depression. I don't have suicidal thoughts anymore. But I have the joy of the Lord because I put my trust in him. And the meds definitely helped me. So I'm not saying don't ever do meds and that's a no-no, but they definitely worked and helped and I think got me through my teenage years. But it's not something I had to stick with forever and ever. But if I did, I would still be good. Yes, absolutely. We have a physical side, a spiritual side, and our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. We're not one-dimensional human beings. We're three-dimensional. There's a lot to take care of, and we're not getting into that part of us today. Jesus is departing. He's leaving his disciples. Their grief is going to turn to joy. Allow the Lord to turn your grief to joy. Ask God to return to the fullness or complete joy in your life. Psalm 16, verse 11. It's almost like Bible bingo. It's going all over. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your joy. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You make known to me the path of life. Well, if we'll stop and wait a moment, God will make known to us the path for our life. But we have to spend time in his presence, time seeking, time asking. Lord, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? He will show us the right path to take. I often take hunters into the woods on guided trips. And they're like, well, why don't we go this way? And I'm like, because that's a bad way. You know, the Holy Spirit is your guide for life. If you'll stop and ask him and say, Holy Spirit, why don't we go this way? They are because that's disastrous. I've got a better route planned for you. And sometimes a better route is still a hard route. It's not an easy route. But we have to be in tune and listen and seek and ask. He says he will fill us with joy when we are in his presence. He will fill us with joy when we are in his presence, which means I have to spend time in his presence. There will be eternal pleasures, those to look forward to in eternity. It's not just about now, it's about then also. Proverbs 17:22. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, or a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Want some natural medicine? No modifications? Joy. Sometimes your joy is the medicine someone around you needs. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us, we looked at that last week, but joy is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Find joy in the Lord. Well, I don't know, like, do you have breath to breathe? Yes. Can you move about? Yes. Can you talk? Yes. Can you hear? Yes. Those are things to be joyful about. Does God love me? Yes. Did his son come to earth and die for me? Yes. These are things to be joyful about. Romans 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a really powerful little verse. There's a lot in there. First of all, the God of hope. Will you let the God of hope in? The God of hope wants to fill you with peace and joy. He wants you to put your trust in him. He wants you to overflow with that hope. And he wants you to do it not on your power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the strength and energy. But he wants you to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's like a get-out-of-jail-free card. I don't have to rely on this guy. I've got power from on high I can tap into. That should be enough to bring me joy. Nobody else, Olo? Just me? That's enough to get excited about. Our last passage we're going to look at today is Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Psalms chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. A psalm for giving grateful praise. Verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That is a meaty passage. It is so full from the first line, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. That's not all the humans. That's all the earth. When I think of a dewdrop dropping off a leaf and hitting the ground below and going, pshht, it's exclaiming the greatness of God. When raindrops fall across the pond, the river, a tin roof, the pitter-patter, exclaiming the greatness of God. The Bible tells us that if we won't cry out, the rocks will cry out. When a rock rolls down the mountain, it's a long mountain. I've done a lot of rock rolling down mountains, okay? And I've only had the police show up once. Maybe we'll tell that story sometime. when I hear a coyote howl. Exclaiming the greatness of his creator. When I hear a bull bugle, when I hear a turkey gobble, when I hear a babbling brook rushing, when a great timber takes its final breath, crashes to the ground and bows before the Lord Almighty to replenish the seedlings with what's left of his carcass, exclaiming the greatness of creation and our King. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Not just us, but all the earth shout for joy. We all shout in our own language and tongue. Like I can speak a few animal words, but not the whole language. Want to hear my turkey call? Here, turkey, turkey, turkey. My good friend Angel taught me that. It's not just about us. All of creation shouts for joy. All of creation is expecting joy. It's much bigger than us. God loved us so much that he made a way for us to get to eternity. Man, that's why I love nature so much. Seeing what God has put together and how it all works and flows together. From the smallest insect to the greatest mammal. God is such an awesome creator. The second part of that is worship. Expecting joy in worship. Worship the Lord with gladness. It is hard to worship the Lord with gladness and not be joyful. Sometimes I just drive down the road and looking at all the sights and just thank you, Lord, for these beautiful fall colors. I love the fall in the valley here along the river. All the colors and the reflections off the river. Man, God is such an artist. It makes me just bubble up with joy and just want to praise and worship him. Wherever I'm at. The next part of that passage is come before him with joyful songs. We have to be intentional about coming before the Lord with a joyful song in our heart. We have to on purpose come before the Lord. He's done his part. He arrived. First came in a manger. Then he went to the cross. Then he went back to the throne. He's done his part. We have to arrive, come into his presence, and make that joyful noise. We have to know who he is and knows who we are. Do you know whose you are? You are a son, a daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, creator of heaven and earth. Quit acting like a servant. He calls us friend. I no longer call you servant, but friend. He invites us into that relationship. But sons and daughters, they have full access to dad's stuff. He says, come to me. I will be found by you. Act like a son or daughter that you are. We have to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Have you ever went somewhere and just stayed outside the gate? Oh, looks like they're having fun over there. Oh, what's going on? You know, you get the full meal deal if you go through the gate. You get the full experience. Instead of just hanging outside the fence and looking, peeking through the wires. No, he invites us to enter into the inner courts with him, his inner gates, into that intimate relationship with our Creator. He says, yes, I am your God. I am your Lord. I am your King. But I'm as close as a friend. He invites us to bring him praise with our voices lifted up. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. His faithfulness, his love, is not going to run out. His goodness is not going to run out. You can use it up and it will replenish. It will continually grow and develop. It will continually expand. Use as much as you like. It's kind of like when you're a kid at the self-serve ice cream bar for the first time. You got a two-cup bowl and you put four or five cups in it. Maybe I was the only one that ever did that. That's what God invites us to through what Jesus did for us. Expecting joy to the overflowing, that it should run out of our lives and be infectious to those around us. And they can't help but be excited and happy when in our presence, because the joy of the Lord within us. Not because Arby's so awesome, but because of who's in me. I'm going to close with this final story, because this is how we should be when we're expecting joy. It was my older daughter's birthday, Selway. She was 4 or 5, somewhere down here. Not very big critter. We had a bunch of family and friends over, and she gets this gift bag that my aunt had given her, and she reaches in, and she pulls it out and goes, "A hanger! Yeah!" And she goes tearing around the house and waving her hanger. She's so excited, and my aunt's going, "There was a dress on the hanger." She didn't care. She was so excited about this new hanger she just got. Sometimes we need to look at the small things to be excited about, the little things to be joyful about, the everyday, mundane, routine things. You know what's awesome about hangers? It's like they keep your clothes off the ground. Like, we hang dry a bunch of our clothing, so we use hangers all the time. But I think if we didn't have hangers, then it would just be, rather than air drying and being clean and neat and nice, it would be piled on a floor and could create mold and mildew and ruin the garment. So I mean, a hanger's pretty insignificant, but it has high value because of what you put on it and the clothes you dry on it. But if we'll look each and every day of our lives for those small little things that God has placed in our lives. Homework this week. Go home and have a conversation with God and thank him for 10 things in your life. 10 things every day for the next week. Intentionally stop, pause your life. And it can be, "God, I thank you I have shoes on my feet. God, I thank you I have socks inside of my shoes on my feet. God, I thank you I only have one hole in my sock instead of two." Those are things to be thankful for. A great portion of the world doesn't have shoes or socks. So that's your homework this week. Each and every day, stop and pause. Thank God. Let that expectant joy rise up in you. "God, I'm so thankful I have coffee to brew in the morning. It brings me joy to have a cup of coffee in the morning." What brings you joy? Hopefully you have a list that you can say, but if not, it's a good time to start. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that Jesus came that we may have joy and have it abundantly, Lord God. We thank you that our joy can be full and complete, God. We thank you that it can be overflowing and contagious to those around us, Lord God. And we thank you, God, that we can come before you and ask, God, that our joy can be restored and returned to us. God, it is not something we have to be without. But God, through your Holy Spirit within us, God, we can find joy even in the hardest situations. God, we can find joy even when life takes its hard turns, even when our expectations are not met, God, we can still find joy if we will stop and pause and shift our eyes to you. Father, we thank you for this. We ask your blessing, God, upon those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen.